The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the loving Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whomever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Oh, wait, that was last week. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Nope, 2 weeks ago. Jesus said to them, "I am the living bread that comes down from heaven." That was this week. Have pity on a poor preacher. I mean, really, you should never really have pity on a preacher, right? Because this is not that hard. The only reason you should feel sorry for me is if you're afraid of public speaking. That's the only reason. If anybody's afraid of public speaking, this is hard. But otherwise, we have these funny conundrums that we wrestle with. But we get to talk about wonderful things, so this is not bad. But 3 weeks in a row, the same reading, come on. And 2 weeks in a row, I get to preach on it. This is good. But I think you've heard Jesus say this over and over again, but I also think you heard Greg speak 2 weeks ago about how the bread of life is this substance that's so central to our lives that there wouldn't be a meal without it. For some people, it's rice. For some people, it's bread. As Greg said, in a post-carbohydrate world, that's a little tricky. But it's that staff of life. It's that thing that keeps you going. The thing that nourishes you like no other thing could do, that home food that takes you back, that enriches you. And I think you might remember last week that I told you about how eating and drinking are such central things to our lives. They're earthy and grounded, but they're also the way that we transmit love to one another, that we open ourselves to a family, that we open ourselves to the people around us by sharing food. And so when Jesus talks about bread, he's talking about giving us that thing, that love that we need. And I wonder, aren't you hungry for that? Right? All of this bread of life discourse, inevitably in every sort of theological book and sermon, winds its way towards flesh and blood, towards body and blood. And eventually that gets down to talking about Eucharist, right? Because flesh and blood, because bread and wine, the bread of life, that's not hard. And that's 95% of what you read, that is the interpretation here. But I wonder if you might indulge me a little bit. I had a thought, and I want to sort of pull on the thread and see if the sweater will unravel or if it'll just come loose, you know? I want to see where this leads, and I wonder if you'll indulge me on that. I wonder. Walk down the path with me a little bit. So Jesus is talking about being fed, certainly in the way of his body and his blood feeding us. And I think there's something wonderful there. We come to communion, and we can make sense of communion 100 different ways, but somehow Jesus is within us, you know, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, whether it's metaphorical, we take Jesus in. We remember Jesus, and we're connected with Jesus more. Jesus' body and blood, whether it's literal or whether it's sort of metaphorical, come into us. He's feeding us. He's sustaining us. And that sustenance, that feeding, ties us to him. Remember that part where he says, whoever whoever takes me in, I am in him and he is in me, right? We're bound together suddenly, differently than if we were just to venerate Jesus. If we were to wave at Jesus from afar, isn't he wonderful, great teacher, good leader, beautiful person? Yes, all those things. But Jesus wants to be in us, connected to us, tied to us, not from afar, but right next to us. So we take him in and we build this personal relationship with Jesus. You've heard people say that. That's a phrase these days in religion, having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I mean, Jesus doesn't just want a friendship. He wants intimacy. He wants you inside him and he inside you, knit together in an incredible way. But I wonder, that personal relationship with Jesus is rich and deep, but I wonder if he's not talking on a different level as well. If there's not a corporate level we could speak of that him in us and us in him as well. Because the truth is, as we take him in, as we knit ourselves to him, as we tie ourselves to him, we are connecting ourselves to his body, and not just his body, but the body of Christ, the wider circle of believers. It doesn't stop being personal ever, but it becomes corporate very quickly. There's this change in language at that moment. We're not in him, and he's not in me. I'm not in him, and he's not in me. But instead, we're in him, and he's in us. And we're, in a weird way, in each other as well, interconnected and woven together. And you've heard this language in different readings. When we talk about the body of Christ, the easy language is the foot and the eye and the hand and the ear. If I'm a foot, and I'm most certainly a heel, if I'm a foot and you are an eye, I can walk, but I can't see. We are alone without each other. We couldn't do the body's work. We couldn't do the work of Jesus in the world as the body of Christ without being connected to each other, without being interwoven with Jesus and each other. We couldn't do the work of the world. We couldn't do the work of Jesus in the world without being flesh and blood. And that's what Jesus is talking about, his flesh and his blood, but our flesh and our blood knit together in one large body. But he's also talking about us being flesh and blood as family, right? Because in the same way that we're a body connected together, hands influencing feet and eyes influencing ears, we're also a family. We're brothers and sisters. We have uncles and aunts and kids all the same. We have all these different roles in this community of believers together, teaching one another, learning from one another, sharing our history with one another. I bring this up today because at the beach, they're probably running late, so not yet, but in a minute at the beach, we're going to bring our newest member into the family, AJ Ritchie, who's, I don't know, 6 months old. She was born at Thanksgiving, and so she's becoming our newest kid. She's becoming our flesh and blood. She's becoming our newest little sister or our newest grandchild or whatever relationship you want to take with her. She's becoming part of the body, and maybe she'll grow up to be a hand, and maybe she'll grow up to be a strong shoulder or a seeing eye, but she'll have a place in this body, in this family, no matter what her role is. She will not be left alone. Because we're drawing her into this relationship, we're saying, this is where the sustenance is. This is where the flesh and the blood is. This is how you connect to Jesus and grow in the faith. So stay grounded. Stay connected to God. Grow with us and be part of his body in whole. So today, come and listen to the word and take Jesus in. Read, mark, and inwardly digest those words, letting them sustain you. Come to the table and be fed by the bread and the wine, by the flesh and the blood there. But also remember that Jesus' flesh and blood makes you flesh and blood to a whole different circle of people, a wide, wonderful family, not just in this room, but in this great big world of Christianity. It's a family that we welcome someone new into today. It's a family assembled as eyes and ears, as hands and feet, as flesh and blood working together to care for each other and to reach out into the world, caring for the world as well, transforming it with God's love through working through us.